Welcome along to the Rugby Pass podcast. Today is Friday. It's a bit late in the week for the podcast this week. It's the 20th of May and we're heading into another round of Super Rugby. With me, Mark Steffi from the TAB, Rugby Raconteur. Steffi, let's get away from Super Rugby to start here on the Rugby Pass podcast, because the big rugby story of the week, certainly in this part of the world, has been the defection of Jarryd Hayne, if we can call it a defection, from the NFL. Then telling reporters that his dream is to go to the Olympics to play sevens for Fiji. Are you buying this?
No, his dream is to win a gold medal, and he'll do whatever it takes and burn any bridges that it takes to do that. He can't play sevens. You can't just turn up and play sevens. Maybe for Portugal or someone like that, but Fiji? Are you serious?
So we're talking about the Harlem Globetrotters of World Sevens.
Hallelujah.
A team that is going to win the World Series this year and is going to win it well. They haven't won every tournament, but boy, they have been the best team to watch this season. That is the bell going for good points made on the Rugby Pass podcast. I've got to tell you, I don't get this at all. There's another factor that no one has spoken about in this entire Jarryd Hayne story. Exactly. Good point, Bell. Ringing. It's ringing on the podcast. It keeps ringing on the podcast. That's the good point, Bell. Every team was supposed to submit a long list of players to the IOC for the Olympics. A long list of players. Are you telling me that a guy who was going back to the NFL, was looking to get another contract with the 49ers, had never played sevens in his life, wanted to play for Fiji, was on Ben Ryan's IOC long list for the Olympic Games? Give me a break.
I think he had a couple of carvers with him when the sevens was on in Australia, and he just went and said hello to the boys and thought, that'd be quite cool to play, and Ben might have said, I'll give us a yell if you're ever serious about it. That's about it.
So is this the same Jarryd Hayne who last year posted a picture of himself on Snapchat wearing a New Zealand Māori rugby jersey?
Yeah.
Was that his dream at the time as well, was it?
Yeah, he has a lot of dreams, lucid dreams.
He has, mate, he's eating too much cheese before bed. That's Jarryd Hayne's problem.
It does that, doesn't it? Blue cheese 100%. Gives me dreams.
Yeah, if you get the cheese dreams, you know all about it. The Jarryd Hayne will not play for Fiji at the Olympic Games. Yes or no?
No. Hell no.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Let's get back into Super Rugby. Crusaders last week against the Highlanders, two big chances in the opening quarter, which we know they're very good at. They score more tries in opening quarters than any other team in Super Rugby. Bombed both and then dropped their nuts in spectacular fashion. And the Highlanders took over that match. I thought it was genuinely one of the gutsiest performances I have seen in Super Rugby to see the Highlanders suck up that pressure. Tony Johnson, the commentator at the time, calling it the rope-a-dope, absolutely 100% accurate. That's what it looked like to me. And then they clicked into gear. Is there a team in Super Rugby more intent on scoring tries from anywhere than the Highlanders?
No, and I don't think there's a team in Super Rugby that can stay with the Highlanders when they're in that mood and when they're in that execution frame of mind. I mean, I still think the Crusaders played well. Anyone else would have been 20-25 nil after 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And the Highlanders, as you say, absorbed it. No other team could do that. No one. And admittedly, they were at home, and that really does help. And it was a cauldron. My God, it was incredible down there. That showcased to me what Super Rugby is all about. That was off the charts good.
Okay, so here's the main question. Because we know the result. We know the Highlanders love to score a try. Are the Highlanders playing the style of rugby that has now become winning rugby? And by that I mean they run their attack plan off their nine. So many other teams seem still intent on running an attack platform off a 10.
Yep.
And a 10 who plays the ball too much. I give you pretty much every Australian 10 in the competition and every South African 10. Lima Sopawanga just goes where Aaron Smith wants him to go. He is in full control of their attack plan. I think it's a blueprint for what we'll see from the All Blacks in the June series.
Yeah, I've been harking on. In fact, before the last World Cup, I said we talked about who was the most crucial All Black to win the World Cup. And I've been saying for 2 or 3 years, it's Aaron Smith. Mm. He is the fulcrum. He is the vortex of every team he plays in.
Vortex!
It all operates around him. And I'm pleased you've brought him up. He is so crucial. And everything he does, he's one of those characters that everything he does, it looks easy. It ain't easy because he's the only one in the world doing it. But he makes everyone look so good. You get that extra split second. He always made Dan Carter look a hell of a lot better.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because he had that extra half a second. And that's why Lima's going so well.
Do you know what I love about the Highlanders? Yeah, we open this section. Well, yeah, we open this section of the podcast about to talk about the Crusaders and the Waratahs. We move straight off them and have spent the last 3 minutes talking about the Highlanders. This is what they do.
Yeah,
they are New Zealand's team. They have picked up the scraps and they have stitched together a quilt of quality from all the cast off ragtag bunch of boys from around the country.
Mm-hmm.
That is why people love them.
Mm. They are rugby superbug. No antibiotic can fix them. Nothing. They are incredible. No All Blacks in their forward pack.
Oh, there will be.
Yeah, there will be. But they are destroying them. Oh, it's just, they are so good to watch.
It is a pleasure to watch. Crusaders will take on the Waratahs in the opening game of the round. Andy Ellis playing his 150th for the franchise. I love Angry Ellis.
Oh.
And, yep. You know, I wrote about Aaron Smith this week. I said, you know, Aaron Smith is the G-up man for the Highlanders. Andy Ellis tries to do that for the Crusaders by picking a fight for everyone. But when he does that, the reinforcements have to come in.
Mm.
He has picked a fight with a big man in every game this year. I love his competitiveness, and I think the Crusaders will be too strong for the Tars tonight.
Yeah, I do too. I think their precision. The big thing for the Tars is the loss of Kirtley Beale, who was in wonderful form.
Oh, 100%.
And the extra pressure that the Waratahs have now got with the Brumbies to finish top of that conference. That's what this match is all about for the Waratahs and all of their matches, and also the Brumbies, and also playing for test spots as well, because Michael Checker has said he needs some new blood, which he does. He needs a 12. We'll probably see a Wallaby playing out of position in the 12 jersey because there's a void there. But yeah, I think the Crusaders at home against the Waratahs, who've got a good record against the Crusaders, and even though the Crusaders lost last week, it was a good performance. And
yep,
they play exactly the same as they did last week. They'll tap the Waratahs by 20.
I agree with that, and I still wouldn't count them out winning this entire thing.
Hell no, and because they get Nadolo back after this week.
You want to go to the most watched game of the round? This will be the most watched game of the round. Do you want to know who's playing? Of this round? The Reds playing the Sunwolves. I'm going to give you one reason why. It's the Good Point Bell ringing again on the podcast. Ayumu Gurumaru,
yep,
the out-and-out superstar of the Japanese game, taking on the Sunwolves at Suncorp.
Awesome.
Most watched game.
There are tour groups coming from Japan,
yep,
to this game.
Yep.
It's amazing. Don't talk to me about the game isn't growing internationally. Look what it's doing in Japan. And it all harks back to probably before they beat South Africa in the World Cup. But that was the big flame that lit the wick and the excitement. They're coming off a draw. Hallelujah.
Yeah, and should have won.
Should have won, yeah. And I love the disappointment on Tusi Pisi's face at the end, saying, "Yeah, it shouldn't be about effort anymore."
Take another little piece in my heart now, baby.
Musical interlude, no ding there. but yeah, this will be fantastic. Up the Sunwolves.
I love the doggies.
Yeah,
the Moondogs are my team. Chiefs will take on the Rebels. The Rebels are niggly, but I still think the Chiefs, after a break, too good in the Tron. Steph, I want to go to the Force and the Blues.
Yes. Important game.
Talk about crumbling deluxe in Johannesburg last week. Yeah, here's the thing for the Blues, right? They finish the game. They get humped 43-5. Then they start talking about very hard to chase a game in the rain. I'm just going to drop a stat on you here. The average rainfall in Johannesburg in May is 13 millimetres. The average rainfall in Auckland in May is 114 millimetres. Who do you think's the better team at chasing a game in the rain?
Well, who should be?
Right?
Yeah.
That was so bad.
It was embarrassing. That was really embarrassing.
And you know what? The fans are just starting to buy into some hope here under Tana Umanga. They are still in the playoff mix at this stage going into that game. And then they get dusted by 40 points. I don't want to question a player's courage when he runs on the footy field. But man, you've got to ask some serious questions about where that team's head's at.
Yeah, and you'll see it against the Force, because the Force are terrible.
We know this.
If they can't repair some wounds and play some rugby, that those names that are on the team sheet, look at the forward pack, for God's sake, of the Blues. If they can't play some rugby and do a number on the Force, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Look, there's two games in South Africa that we have to watch, and two very crucial games. The Sharks play the Kings, which is a lay-down mazir. So we know the Sharks get the points. The Lions take on the Jaguares with another player suspended, and maybe a couple. Ridiculous biting discipline in that team. Look, we'll get to that in a bit. We're going to go through our disappointments of the season just in a moment on the podcast. But the Lions need to beat the Jaguares. The Sharks will beat the Kings. And the Sharks and the Lions are fighting for that top spot, an all-important top spot in the South African conferences. Those top spots more important than the top spot in the Australasian group.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely, because they host, which means big travel for someone.
Yeah.
With fatigue and all of that. They are blood games.
They are total blood games. I think the Lions will have too much for the Jaguares. Yeah. I'm over them. I'm not over them. In fact, I'm going to talk about them in a second. Sharks beat the Kings. And then the other one, the Bulls and the Stormers, the two top teams in Group 1 in South Africa, the Conference 1. Whoever wins this is top of the table. The Bulls had an appalling tour of Australia, and the Stormers have just come off a draw in Singapore against the Sunwolves. I don't know where the form book sits here, but I'm tempted to go with home advantage, if only for something to separate these teams.
Yeah, I've battled with this one all week as well, and I lean towards the Stormers. I just think they've got more championship quality, and this is like a championship match. They are playing for that top spot, and I just feel like the pedigree in the Stormers 23 is a notch above the Bulls.
As long as Tian Schoeman doesn't kick the ball away, I think we've got a chance. Although maybe he will against the Stormers, who have proven all season long that they can't carry back out of their defensive third.
Mm.
We move on the Rugby Pass podcast to a section we like to call Who's Pissed You Off the Most This Season? I want to talk about teams.
Oh, okay. I was going
to
go
Reece. No. And the reason we bring this topic up is because I'm an out-and-out fan of expansion. I agree with expansion. I understand the necessity for expansion. And like you mentioned before, Steph, on the Sunwolves, you cannot argue that this has not helped the game in Japan. It is helping the game in Japan. Potentially it's helping the game in Argentina. It's certainly not helping the game in South Africa, as far as I can tell. Three new teams this year, the Kings, the Sunwolves, the Jaguares. You could pick one or two or three of those teams if you want, but if you had to pick the three worst teams, and I'll give you a parameter to work with here, some parameters to work with. You don't have to base this just on results. You could base it on pre-tournament reputation, on perceived squad depth, on strength of schedule. Who are the teams that have disappointed you the most with one round to go before the test break?
The Blues. You know, from the New Zealand side of things, seemed to have everything in line and just continued to disappoint. The Jaguares, I was excited to see their inclusion. I was excited to see their performance at the World Cup, and there is a lot of internationals in that side. There's been glimpses, but the way they've treated this competition is like trial matches and complete squad turnarounds and leaving their best players at home and then flying them over the following week. To me, it's a shambles. That they're not giving themselves the best opportunities. And I think it'd be easy to say the Kings, but I'm not going to say the Kings because they
don't kick a man when he's down.
Yeah, I mean, everyone gets, in South African rugby, everyone gets five cards to play poker with. They get three, you know? And so I'm not going to launch into the Kings. I would say probably the Force or the Reds or one of the Aussies,
yeah.
Possibly the Reds, with championship pedigree not too long ago, have just completely lost their way. Mm. I used to love watching the Reds and their brand of football that they played. Not anymore. I see the Reds are playing, I go, oh, do the dishes or watch rugby, you know, if the Reds are playing.
Gee, that's not kind, is it?
No, because I hate doing the dishes.
I'm with you. I'm with you on two of those teams. In fact, no, I'm not with you on the Blues, but I'm with you on the Jaguares. And the reason I'm with you on the Jaguares is they came into this tournament, everyone blew smoke up their butt. Everyone said, look at the depth, look at the test match experience. We had reservations right at the start of the season about what that would actually translate to on the field. But it's more, to me, the lack of discipline. the fact that so many of these players have taken their French top 14 habits, they're biting, they're gouging, they're kicking, they're stomping, all the filth that we associate with French club rugby, and tried to bring that into Super Rugby. And it has only got worse as their frustration has grown. And there's no place for that in Super Rugby. Hasn't ever been in Super Rugby. And they have got to sort that out.
They need a disciplinarian in the front office.
Well, they need a disciplinarian on the field. Mm. Someone to say, stop giving away penalties in your own half. That's the thing that's costing them games.
Mm.
It's not their intent to play. It's not their attack structure, which has been pretty good. It's the fact that they just keep giving away silly penalties. Mm. And they keep losing games because of it. They've been a major downer for me. Mm. I'll tell you who else has been a major downer for me. This may surprise you. The Stormers have been a major downer for me. And I'll tell you why. Even though they're still fighting for top spot in their conference, you would just like to think that after 6 years of playing defensive rugby, that someone would have a look at that team and the quality of that back line and say, why don't we switch this around a bit, guys, and actually do something with the ball? And still to this day, they feel intent on either bashing it up through the pack or sitting back and making tackles. And that devastates me because I think the Stormers are a team that could really light up that South African competition.
Why don't they take a leaf out of the Lions book? That's what the Lions have done. They are such a good watch.
Well, they are. And what I loved about the Blues win in particular was the fact that they didn't drop their nuts.
Mm.
Had a tough week and then a break, and they came back and said, no, this is how we play. Let's go and play it. It was winning rugby, and it's great to see. Steph, let's finish up on a positive note.
Good.
And I've got a story for you. Just to finish on the rugby pass, some breaking news. New Zealand are trialling a set of breakdown laws at the moment in club rugby across the country. And the breakdown law is designed to keep players on their feet. We have seen the trajectory of entering players head downward and more downward and more downward as the Jackler has become more dominant in the game. The Richie McCaw, the Michael Hooper, the David Pococks of this world. Steve Hansen mentioned last year in March that he wanted to see that gone. He wanted to see players staying on their feet in the breakdown so that the ball was quicker, so that referees could get a clearer picture of what was going on.
Contestable ball?
It's contestable ball, but you've got to take that chance. And if you contest for the ball and a player enters, you've got to take your hands off the ball. There's no more surviving the clean out.
Mm.
Either the ball's there to pick up or it's not. You've got to make a decision. So they've trialled these laws in Taranaki Club Rugby. Colin Cooper, the coach of Taranaki, New Zealand Māori coach, former Hurricanes coach, has been overseeing this.
Future Highlanders coach?
Maybe the future Highlanders coach. I don't know. I don't think so. I think he may well stay. Here's the thing. Club rugby tries under these new breakdown laws have increased by 30%.
Wow.
30%. Don't you think that if they can pull this off, that may well change our game for good?
If it flows through and we get 30% more across the board, 20% more would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Which in test match would probably equate to an extra try per game, which is fantastic. And then they will get used to it and enhance it, and it will get better and better. Things have to change, and I'm pleased Steve Hansen was prepared to put his hand up and just say, in fact, his quote was something like, throw away the rule book and start again.
Well, he made the point. He said, we keep adding laws to the game, but we never take any out.
Yeah.
So the law book keeps expanding. Therefore, the confusion keeps growing. And he's dead right about one thing. So here's the great thing about this new breakdown rule. Because players have to keep their height, and because the onus is not on the defender to go for the ball, you actually have to ruck. You have to push in the ruck to counter ruck. And it's about taking up the space rather than taking over the ball.
So what's the rule? You're not allowed to go in below a certain level?
You can't dive down on a player. So the player, if he's over the ball, you've got to bind. You've got to bind up on a player.
So we won't see these massive off-the-ball shoulders.
That's exactly right, which have led to more concussions in our game, more contact injuries in our game, and they want to get rid of it. And they're seeing back lines now have more space because more forwards come into the breakdown in order to get that space advantage over the ball.
Mm.
It sounds very, very positive, and we'll keep you posted on the stats as they come through from club rugby. A lot of the provinces in the country are trialling variations on these laws, including the point structure, but Taranaki is not trialling the new point structure. So this has nothing to do with more tries because they're worth more points. This is all about cleaning up one area of the game which has become more contentious than ever before. I think it's a good sign.
Great
Steph,
sign.
Let's go do some Super Rugby. That's it for the Rugby Pass podcast for this week. It's Friday the 20th of May. We are heading into the penultimate round of Super Rugby before the test window. Hope you enjoyed the pod. We'll be back next week with more.